the subway on the music midnight makes.
We all really believe in each other, and I think we're kind of like coming from the same page as far as why we want to make music and where we want to head in our careers. So it's just kind of like butter for me.
Hi, this is WMUK's Let's Hear It, and that's Nashone Holloway, a brilliant young singer from Kalamazoo, who with her equally talented bandmates, Mark Niskanen on piano and Andrew Rose on bass, joined me in the Takeda studio at WMUK not too long ago. They've all had formative musical experiences at Western Michigan University and named their group after the first song they wrote together. Tonight on Let's Hear It, music and conversation with As the Sea on WMUK.
Their awning, it breeds pork pie, I had by.
Possessed of an extremely true and versatile voice, Nashone Holloway nevertheless was an English major at Western Michigan University, graduating in 2013. Her gift did not go unnoticed by jazz students or faculty in the School of Music. In fact, it was Jazz Studies Director Tom Knifick who brought Nashone, Mark, and Andrew to my attention. All three perform in multiple projects outside of this group, but As the Sea is a major creative outlet for them. They're thrilled with the original songs they write together and prefer to share them in the intimate setting of the house concert. We'll hear more about that a little later, but you'll want to know now that As the Sea is booking house concerts this May to help fund a major overseas trip later in the summer. Pianist Mark Niskanen is a native of Finland, and Andrew Rose hails from Moscow, Idaho. But Nashone Holloway grew up right here, absorbing the sounds of her parents' record collection.
My parents are big music listeners, and my dad had Bobby McFerrin, Bob Marley, and Paul Simon, mostly just the Graceland album in the house, like, you know, with, I think, Ladysmith. Black Mambazo is on that record as well with him. And then my mom listened to Daryl Coley, Anita Baker, and I would sing with Mary Poppins every day and try to emulate her intonation. And so I didn't realize that would be a skill I'd use later on in life. Julie Andrews, yeah. I would do an impersonation, but I don't want to embarrass myself because I do love all sorts of singing. But anyway, my personal first three loves, I always say, were Nat King Cole, Nancy Wilson, and the Jackson 5. So,
wow, that's quite a variety.
Yeah. So that's me.
Well, Mark, I know that you actually grew up in Finland, and boy, that seems to be a really great place to be growing up these days. Great education, great technology. What brought you to the United States, and what brought you to jazz?
Yeah, well, I've been playing the piano since I was, you know, 6 or 7 years old. And as you said, I went to a pre-college program in Finland, like a musical high school program. And I was always playing music, but at some point, especially in middle school, I kind of got sick of doing the same thing over and over again. I was playing classical mostly. I love the music, but just the idea of practicing every day the same passage of the same song for months, you know, that just kind of bored me, right? Bored me to death, honestly. And yeah, at some point, I don't even remember how I heard about jazz and improvised music, but I just remember being really excited about never playing the same thing ever again. Yeah. And always playing something differently, you know, and that was really interesting to me. And that was my solution to keep doing music and still be really interested and excited about it. So yeah, I kind of got into jazz that way and started listening to a lot of people. Like Brad Meldow was huge for me. He's this kind of young, well, I guess at that point he was in his 30s, a jazz piano player. And I started researching his life and what he did and who his teachers were. And I found out that Fred Hirsch was his teacher. And I started researching Fred Hirsch and listening to his albums. I loved it because it was kind of a combination of his classical background with jazz and improvised music, and that really appealed to me. So, I was an exchange student after my high school for a year, and found out about Western and played in some festival. And a professor at Western emailed me saying that, "Hey, you should come here and study here." And at first I actually wasn't too interested, because I looked at the tuition and I'm like, whoa, you know, school in Finland is free. Why would I come here? But then I also looked at the faculty list, and Fred Hirsch happened to be a visiting faculty member. So it was kind of a no-brainer to really look into this option. And yeah, eventually it led to coming here.
And Jeremy Siskind is a former student of Fred Hirsch too.
Yeah, exactly. So. And now he's my full-time, you know, teacher. Mm-hmm. And yeah, Jeremy Siskind is a monster. Yeah. He's you know, probably one of my favorite, you know, piano players in the world ever. So mm-hmm. I'm very lucky to be here.
Well, Andrew, I feel like we got started a little bit. I'm picturing you with a bass guitar in high school.
Playing bass guitar in
Where
high school.
Where was this?
This was in Moscow, Idaho. There is a jazz festival there every year. It's the Lionel Hampton Jazz Festival. And John Clayton has taken over directing that now. And it was one of the inspirations for me coming into this music, because I was able to see the greatest jazz musicians perform in my small little town. And then afterwards, I could go up and ask them questions. And it was a very hands-on learning experience for me. You know, during that week of the jazz festival, I would just ditch school the entire week and just go and just hang out and listen to all the clinics. And that was a major inspiration for me, you know, seeing something, you know, that comes from a big city, you know, some real culture and some real music coming into that small little community. It's really a treat.
Here you must study with Tom Kniffick.
Yes, that's right.
After how many years now?
This is my fifth year at Western. Yeah, so finishing out my master's degree. And Tom is he's a great teacher. And one of the things that I really wanted to do when I started to study the bass is I knew I wanted to be a good classical bass player as well, not only jazz, but classical as well. And he is well-versed in both worlds and is able to really teach me, you know, everything I need to know about both jazz and classical worlds, really.
Well, you know, as engineer Martin Clem and I were listening to your performing there, he leaned over and whispered that you are one of the most in tune bassists he's ever heard.
Oh,
and
I was thank
like,
you.
I know, it's like, and I said, he can't have been playing for that long, because bass players on stand up bass have to be in your mid to late teens to get started.
Yeah, it's a big instrument.
You must have put in a lot of practice.
I started playing when I was 17 years old, and I just never stopped. I joke that, you know, the upright bass is the one woman that will never leave me. That's, you know, you can use that or not. That's kind of a dark joke.
Yeah.
Kind of a dark joke, but really, I, you know, I have a deep personal relationship just with the instrument.
Well, together as the Sea, you've already established a reputation for house concerts, for performing in people's homes. And I have some questions about that experience. How different is it for you to be to playing with people's potted plants and pictures on the wall and the books in the library all around you, rather than the sort of sterility of the concert hall?
I think it's really great. You know, these people let us into our homes, and I feel like they let us into a part of their lives, a part of their hearts. And it's always a really special occasion. We always love talking to the people beforehand and meeting all of the audience and everything. And that itself gives the concert a different flavor. Mm-hmm. It's like we're sharing it on an even more intimate level.
Exactly.
And this band, you know, it really shines, I feel, in that context, because we have a lot of really sensitive moments that might be missed if, you know, people were making, you know, drinks in the background, or, you know,
that's your typical club atmosphere.
Exactly.
But do you get better listeners this way?
I find that's absolutely the case. And they feel as if it's a more special event to them. It just, you know, just sitting down just for the purpose of listening, you know, to the music and sharing that together.
And there's, you know, there's sort of intensity that you lose in bigger venues and concert venues, you know, like the audience can hear us breathe, you know, we can hear, we can hear them breathe. Mm-hmm. It's so close, and they can feel our, you know, what we're going through, like they can see it, they can hear it. And it's just a completely different setting from any, you know, typical concert setting that we've done before.
Yes, and those big concerts are lovely as well. We love playing music anyway. but along the lines of breathing, you know, sometimes Andrew and I will compensate for the lack of percussion, and I'll use my mouth and my body, and Andrew will use his bass drum and sometimes, you know, his hands and stuff like that. And you can really, I mean, you can actually hear me just, you know, like really getting involved with the music in a, I don't know, very, as we said, intimate way, but it just, it's a different type of honesty, a different element of your honesty through the expression in that context.
Right. And it's also harkening back to an age before amplification.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
This is kind of how, unless you put some sort of trumpet on your instrument, this is really how music was heard for centuries and centuries and centuries.
Exactly. Yeah. So now in May, we're looking for anyone who's interested in organizing something like this, you know? And every, you know, every host that we've had so far has been so, you know, so inspired, and we have been so inspired by them, and it's been overall a very, very positive and fun and kind of a mesmerizing vibe, and I feel like everybody wins in those situations. So if, you know, if anybody who's hearing this is interested, they should contact us.
But anybody can do this with a group of friends.
Yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the room doesn't have to be big, you know. Mm-hmm. You know, as I said, I can bring my keyboard, so they don't have to have a piano. It's really, you know, there's so many different ways we can do this.
How would they get in touch?
They can go on our Facebook page. So if they just type Ask the Sea, also facebook.com/AskTheSeaMusic. They can send a private message. If you don't have a Facebook, good for you. You can email us at askthecmusic@gmail.com.
Well, you're all here with your instruments and your voice, Nashon. Why don't you give us a taste of what folks might hear in one of your house concerts? Mark, tell me about this song.
This song is called Goodbye Pork Pie Hat. It is a Charles Mingus composition dedicated for Lester Young after his death. And actually, Mingus's last project was an album with Joni Mitchell, who's all of our inspiration as an artist too. And Joni Mitchell wrote the lyrics, and I think Joni Mitchell was sensing that something was going on with Charles Mingus, and he happened to die during the process of this last album. And you'll hear that it's become a dedication both for Lester Young, the saxophone player, and Charles Mingus.
When Charlie speaks of Lester, you know someone great has gone. The sweetest swinging music man had a porky pig hat on. A bright in a dark age, when the bandstands had a thousand ways of refusing a black man admission. Black musician, in those days they put sailors and chitlins. When Lester took him wife, arm in arm went black and white, and some so red, and drove
them from their hotel beds. Love is never easy. It's short of the hope we have for happiness. Bright and sweet. Love is never easy street, yeah. Now we are black and white, embracing out in a lunatic New York night. It's very unlikely we'll be driven out of town. Or be hung in a tree. That's unlikely tonight. These crimes. Dancing in the streets, in the sticky middle of the night, summer serenade of taxi horns and fun arcades, where right or wrong under neon, every feeling goes on for you and me. The sidewalk is a history book. In a circus, dangerous clowns balancing dreadful and wonderful perceptions they have been handed day by day, generations on us with